This evening, I am led to some words in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, the chapter earlier read, and verse 17. And I emphasize some words from the heart of that text, Nehemiah 9 and verse 17. The words are, "Thou art a God ready to pardon." It perhaps is necessary for us to consider the background to these words. After 70 years of captivity in Babylon, the Jews witnessed a sovereign act of God in that Babylon eventually fell to the kingdom of Persia in 539 BC. And Cyrus, king of Persia, became king not only of his own kingdom, but also king over Babylon. And no sooner was he upon the throne of both countries than he issued a decree allowing for the return of the Jewish captives and for renewal of the worship back in Jerusalem. Now, in the year 537, some 43,000 Jews returned to Jerusalem under a man called Sheshbazzar, and temple construction began the following year. That was in 537. In 458, thousands more returned, this time under Ezra. And Ezra brought about not so much the restoration of the temple, but the reformation of the people. So we have two important dates, 537, the first return, 458, the second return, and then in 444 BC, Nehemiah led more still back to the city, and his mission was to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Now, after those walls were rebuilt, Nehemiah, like those before him, was concerned for the spiritual welfare of the people, and he urged them to make peace with God and to renew their faith and devotion to him and enter into a solemn covenant with their God. And so it is in chapters 8 to 10 of the book of Nehemiah that we have the response of the people to Nehemiah's counsel. In chapter 8, the scriptures are read in the audience of all the people. In chapter 9, confession of sin is made. And in this confession of chapter 9, Nehemiah remembers God, his deliverance of his people anciently from Egypt, and his long suffering of his people in all of their wilderness wanderings over many years. And it closes with a very moving confession of sin on behalf of Israel. Now, it's in the midst of this prayer that Nehemiah offered that we come across these words, "Thou art a God ready to pardon." The least that can be said tonight is that they are exceedingly precious words. God is ready to pardon. His mercy is even now prepared, and his grace can go forth at any moment to restore poor sinners to God. Now, this evening I take these words, "Thou art a God ready to pardon." I have no headings for you as such tonight. I just want to highlight three words. The first is God. He is a God ready to pardon. The second word is that word ready. Thou art a God ready to pardon. And the third word is the word pardon itself. I do not think in all the scriptures there are words more encouraging to sinful men and women than these that are now before us. There are no words that are more attractive and enticing than these words, and no words that are of greater comfort to us and strength to us, particularly if we are seeking to come to faith. Thou art a God ready to pardon. First of all, then, God. Thou art a God ready to pardon. God is a pardoning or forgiving God. The psalmist in Psalm 130 says, there is forgiveness with thee. The prophet Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, in addressing God, says, to thee belongs mercies and forgivenesses. Now, what is pardon or forgiveness? Pardon or forgiveness is the taking away of the guilt of sin. And the guilt of sin is the obligation upon the sinner to face punishment. When God forgives, he says, in effect, deliver them from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. So it is turning away the liability we have to face up to what we've done and to answer for it. It is God saying he doesn't require our judgment. Neither will he proceed in it to deal with us after our sins. He will waive the obligation we are under to endure that punishment. So it is a beautiful word, pardon or forgiveness. And here is a God ready to pardon. Only God can pardon sin. That is what the scripture says. Who can forgive sins but God only? Why only God? Why only he is able to pardon? The answer to it is this, that sin, which God pardons, is a wrong done to God, an offense to him, a provocation to him in his justice and righteousness. And because sin is directed to God, then only the offended can remit. And only God can say, there is no punishment, there is no reaction to your sin. So David in Psalm 51 confesses this in the plainest of terms. He says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." And then he prays, "Purge me with hyssop. Cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." I have sinned against God. Let the one sinned against forgive my sin. And how is God able to remit punishment and declare we no longer need to face the same? The first answer to that, at least, is because he is a merciful God and a gracious God. There is a distinction between those two words. Mercy is the response of God's heart to misery as he moves to relieve the sinner of that misery. And God sees the sinner in a state of sin and misery, and his mercy inclines him, therefore, to save. His mercy inclines him to remit the punishment. And grace, if mercy is the response of love to those that are miserable,